can now let's cross the Atlantic to the US, where the race for the White House enters its frantic final full week. President Donald Trump and challenger Joe Biden are crisscrossing the nation, returning again and again to swing states, which they would need if they are to reach the 270 electoral votes required for the presidency. Our Washington correspondent, Brian O'Donovan, joins us from Washington. Brian, early voters are really breaking records there. In some states, a majority of eligible voters will have cast ballots before Election Day. Can you tell us who are they voting for and what sort of trends are emerging?
And it's really striking when you see those numbers, Carol. I think we're up to about 57 million Americans now have voted early, either through a combination of mail-in ballots, so postal voting. This, of course, is very popular this year because of the pandemic, or early in-person voting, where you can physically go to a polling station early and cast your ballot. I was recently speaking to early voters in an area of Virginia. They were quite pro-Democrat. They were quite pro-Joe Biden. But the sense was they wanted to get out early to get the vote in because they were afraid that Donald Trump wouldn't accept the election result, or they were afraid he would cast doubt on postal voting. So there was this sense of getting the vote in early and in person. And there's a general sense out there that Republicans are more likely to vote on Election Day and that this enthusiasm for early voting is bad news for Donald Trump. But that may not necessarily be the case. Latest figures coming out of Florida, one of the biggest and most important swing states, show that in recent days there's been a surge of Republicans engaging in early in-person voting. Now, one of those Republicans who voted early in Florida yesterday was Donald Trump himself. Florida has become his official residence. He was there yesterday, voting in person before embarking on a series of campaign events across several swing states, and he told reporters that he was optimistic about his chances.
Well, if you look at the vote, the early vote, it's not nearly what they thought it would be. It's just not what they thought. We're going to have a great red wave. It's going to be a red wave like you've never seen before, because people are tired of looking at the anarchists and all of the things taking place in Portland, Chicago, New York with crime. They're tired of it. But you're going to have a red wave, the likes of which you haven't seen, and everybody knows it. And they I don't think they're doing very well. They have no enthusiasm. Look, Obama shows up for a speech and nobody shows. What did he have yesterday? 32 people showed up? We've got 35, 40,000 people half the time.
And Joe Biden is out on the campaign trail this weekend, too, and he believes that he has the stronger message. What's he saying, Brian?
Yeah, Joe Biden holding a series of campaign events across the weekend. Of course, he tends to have smaller gatherings, socially distanced crowds, drive-in events where supporters stay in their cars. And contrast that with the big rallies that Donald Trump was referencing there, thousands of crowds packed together despite the pandemic. And this weekend, Carol, another reminder that the coronavirus is affecting the White House. Four of Vice President Mike Pence's advisors have now tested positive, including his chief of staff, Mark Short. But the White House says that Mike Pence himself has tested negative. But it's this criticism of Donald Trump's handling of the pandemic that continues to dominate Joe Biden's campaign message. Here's what he told voters yesterday in Pennsylvania.
At the debate on Thursday night, Donald Trump said and is still saying, "We're rounding the corner. It's going away. We're learning how to live with it." What I told him at the debate, we're not learning how to live with it. You're asking us to learn how to die with it. And it's wrong. This is going to be a dark winter ahead unless we change our ways. Experts tell us we're going to lose nearly another 200,000 lives nationwide in the next several months. All because this president cares more about the stock market than he does you.
Well, Joe Biden there, and thank you to Brian O'Donovan for bringing us up to date on the campaign trail. Well, despite the positive polls for Joe Biden, many are asking that question. Could Donald Trump still pull off another victory, just as he did in 2016? Well, I spoke to Dr. Lara Brown. She's director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University and author of Amateur Hour, Presidential Character and Leadership. She told me that the 2020 election is very different from the one in 2016.
It is a different election from 2016. In 2016, we had what is considered to be an open seat election, meaning that there was no incumbent running for office. And when that happens, it creates very different dynamics because the voters are trying to determine which candidate they prefer. This election is instead an incumbent election. And what that means is that most voters are asking themselves, does the incumbent, President Donald Trump, deserve four more years or not. And they are not really focused on the challenger so much as the incumbent.
Now, we're seeing much larger numbers of people voting early this time, either in person or through mail-in ballots. How much of this do you think is to do with the pandemic, and what other factors are at play?
Well, it's really quite extraordinary. We have not seen this number of people vote and cast their ballots early in our history. So this is quite a unprecedented circumstance. But it is not unusual to see a jump in turnout in the wake of election controversy. We actually saw a very similar dynamic in the 2004 election in the wake of all of the controversy that happened in 2000 around the balloting in Florida and the Electoral College. So what we have is a certain sense of people wanting to make sure that their vote is heard, believing that their vote is more important. That translates into higher turnout. And then, of course, because of the pandemic, people are doing it earlier than normal.
Now, political scientists, of course, talk about wave elections where there is a big shift from one side to the other, red and blue. And we heard President Trump there on the campaign trail predicting a great red wave. Do you believe this is a wave election? And if so, in what direction?
Well, I do think we are building toward a wave election. What you see and why we say that is that the what is called the generic ballot question, when we ask people, if you could vote for Congress today, would you vote for the Democratic candidate or the Republican candidate? When that strongly leans in one direction, it is usually an indicator that there is a wave, that everything is kind of moving in one direction. We've seen that for a long time now for the Democratic Party. That generic ballot has been about +7, +8% for the Democrats since even before the 2018 election. So we've had almost 2 years of a very strong anti-Republican presence in the polls.
And would you include the Senate in that wave?
I absolutely would. What we do know is that in the United States, it has become increasingly rare for voters to split their tickets, to vote for president for one party and Senate for the other. And the likelihood is that with President Trump in such trouble, with this kind of more general sentiment against the Republican Party governance that appears to be there, you can imagine that those voters will vote for Democrat, for Joe Biden for president, and then for the Democratic senator on the down ballot.
And if Donald Trump does pull it off again and wins a second term, do you believe that he will change the way he leads?
I don't believe he'll change. The White House tends to reveal a person's character, not change it. And in that way, I think what we would see would be a continuance of Donald Trump's persistence around combativeness and risk-taking and essentially a leading from the gut, which his supporters believe is about him fighting for them. For much of the country, they believe and feel that that is a sense of divisiveness and just obstinacy that is devoid of any compassion for the suffering that is happening.
And that was the view of Dr. Laura Brown from George Washington University.